name is Kristen Owens. I'm a history student at Jacksonville State University. I'm taking History of American Women, and Dr. Suzanne Marshall is my professor. I'm going to be interviewing my grandmother.
My name is Edna Gaffner.
Okay, first of all, I want to ask you about your parents. Tell me about your mother and her family and what they did for a living, and your father and his family and what they did for a living and where they're from and stuff like that.
Okay, my mother and dad was good parents. My mom was raised in Butler County, which was Greenville, Alabama. My dad's family came from Florida, some part in Florida. I don't remember what part of Florida he came from, but his mama died when he was a small child, and he kind of raised himself. And as his dad remarried, and they left and went away, so he was left alone to do whatever. So my mom and dad met, and they fell in love, and they got married. And my mom's name was Ina Earl Andrus Kennedy. My dad's name was Fred McQueen Kennedy. All of my dad's family left and went west or Texas or someplace, and they settled down, my mom and dad, in Greenville, Alabama, which is Butler County. And they had their family and lived on a farm. My mom's family had slaves, and they was one of the better families, which I mean they were kind of up to do, not poor and not rich, as they owned a grist mill. Now, a grist mill is a mill that grinds the corn into meal. And they owned a lot of land, and my mom would tell us a lots of times about their slaves. I don't remember whether my dad's family had slaves or not. They worked the slaves on the land, or worked wherever they were needed. When they would run away at times, and they had to look for them and bring them back home. The way they would tell where they were at times, they would put a big bell on them so they would know what direction they were in. But Mom said her dad was good to his slaves, and when they were freed or on their own, they didn't want to leave. So some of them stayed nearby, so if you're good to someone, they will always love you. So my mama inherited a lot of land from her dad, so that is where we lived, made our home there in Greenville. Then they began to have a family. They had 9 children, 7 girls and 2 boys. We lived on a farm in a little country named Hornoverville, Alabama, still in Butler County near Greenville, Alabama. The first of the children were a girl, Mary Bell Kennedy, later married David Bentley. The next child was a girl named Mildred Kennedy, later married John Bentley, all from Butler County near Greenville, Alabama. The next child was a boy, Woodrow Andrews Kennedy, later married Nora Bell Davis. The next child was a girl, Anna Mae Kennedy, later married Clyde Henry Hartson. The next child was a girl, Freddie Earl Kennedy, later married Clady Perdue. The next child or children were triplet girls. The first one was Edith Kennedy, never married. The next one, Erin Kennedy, later married Winford Lansdon. And the last one was Edna Kennedy, who married Alan Gafford. Then they had another boy, Frank O'Neill Kennedy, never married. My oldest sister is dead, also the next oldest one, and also my oldest brother, Woodrow. My dad died at age 62, leaving my mom to carry on the work or at home. So we did. All the children were married and gone on by the time of his death, or most of us. So my youngest brother stayed and took care of Mom and the farm work. But later on, Mom's health was poor, so my sister, not married, came to live with Mom and my brother. The two, not married, still live together.
Okay, tell me about the triplets. Were you expected? How were you delivered? And how big you were, and how your mother took care of you and still had time to do work around the house and everything?
Well, going back to the triplets, my mom was looking for three babies. Then they didn't have doctors like they do now. As I said, we didn't have doctors in them days like we do now to go see about ourselves every month or week or whatever you go to. But Mom didn't. At least she didn't do it. But my dad had to get the doctor this time. They had midwives to deliver the babies then. They still didn't expect but one. But we all were born and all were all right. Girls. But mighty small. The first one was born. They mostly guessed the weight, but she was real big. They guessed she had weighed about 7 pounds. The other two only weighed 5 pounds together. My mom said a lot of time she would measure our face from ear to ear with a silver dollar, and it would cover our face. So, you know, we were small. And she would measure our arms with her middle finger. That was how long our arms were. Then she would measure our fingers. And she said they were like little straws. They had to carry us on a pillow all the time till we got a bit bigger. My dad was so proud of us three, he would call us his boys. Most of the older children were in school at this time, so my mom and dad would keep out two of the children at a time from school to help care for us. They had cows, so we would drink warm milk from the cows, which they milked every hour, all during the day. And they had piles of clothes to be done each day. So everyone had to help and pitch in and do the work, whatever was to be done. As we grew older, we all had to do work each day. As I told you, we were on the farm. And if you haven't worked on a farm, you have missed the good old times. Sometimes it was something to do on the farm all the time, from daylight to dark. During the springtime, it was planting time. Planting cotton, corn, peanuts, sugar cane, and whatever you planted, and also the garden. We raised our own vegetables. And we raised cows and hogs and chickens and whatever you raise. That's mostly what we raised. We didn't have ducks and other stuff. We just had the main things, and we had to raise food so they could have food. We would plant and fertilize the crop as we would work. Had to carry buckets of fertilizer to the workers when they were in the fields. Also cotton seed to be planted in the fresh ground. When the seeds came up, we had to chop the fine grass away from the plants so it would grow. Then in about a week after that, we would hold the grass away, which was bigger grass from the first time we chopped. We called it chopping cotton and hoeing cotton. All the families had to work most all day, just come in from the field to long enough to eat our dinner. We started working about 8 o'clock in the morning and took an hour from dinner and go right back until 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon. That is when it was not wet. And when it didn't rain, we would work. We didn't get all that tired as we all had to work to get the crops planted, and after all that work, we had to pick the cotton and gather the corn and the peanuts and everything else we had planted. It was just from spring to fall. We also made our own syrup. My dad had to help with our financing from someone else, so he would give the cotton back to the man who financed us, and we would keep the cotton seed, and that was our money to spend for ourselves. So it wasn't too much, but no one else had stuff in. So we had to make do whatever we had. And two, we would sell chickens that we had raised on the farm for our kerosene. And kerosene was what we put in a lamp. We did not have electricity back then. So we would have to walk a mile to get our kerosene and bring back to fill our lamp so we could have a light for the night. And we didn't have no cars back then. At least we didn't. And late, a little bit later on, though, the cars began to, each one, somebody had cars, but we never had one. We had to go to town on a wagon. And we also had to go to church on the wagon.